Thank you, Vern, for that.
American Commissioner Mike Oresco.
Vern and Nancy are extremely close friends, and we're delighted to have them here. I want to welcome everyone. We're glad to have all of you here to meet with our outstanding football student athletes and coaches in this obviously beautiful setting. Hope you all enjoyed the clam bake last night. Our string of good weather continues, and I'm sure some lobster consumption records were broken again last night. The record might be 10. I don't know what it is now. But as I said, he did it 2 years ago. I'm honored to have Ray Berglund as our host and MC. Vern has had one of the greatest careers in the history of sports broadcasting, and that's not hyperbole. What adds to his towering stature, however, is his humanity. You can tell just having him up here. He's genuine, personable, never let his immense fame, and he's got some of the most famous calls in the history of sports television, affect how he conducts himself. He's a consummate gentleman. We've often called him a national treasure. We're not trying to embarrass him, but we call him a national treasure because he is. And we're privileged to have him and his lovely wife, Nancy, here with us again in Newport. There's tremendous excitement surrounding this year's Media Day, as there's been over the years. I think it's heightened, though, this year. We've just concluded a landmark 12-year TV media deal with ESPN, which validates our success over the past 6 years and gives us a very strong tailwind into an even more successful future. We'll have the means now to continue to make significant national impact, and our student athletes will continue to compete at the highest levels. We also solidified our position as a P6 conference, and our Power 6 campaign will be energized as a result of our TV media deal, and of course, our numerous and impressive successes on the field and on the court. We've had a remarkable 6 years, and although we will clearly focus on our bright future, it's also time to reflect on where we've been and how we achieved as much as we have. It's fitting that I pay tribute to individuals within and outside our conference who have been instrumental in our success or who have been friends of the conference. Judy Genshaft is leaving USF after almost 20 years of spectacular service as president and has seen phenomenal growth academically and athletically. Judy has served a term as our conference chair and as our NCAA Board of Directors and Board of Governors representative. She was instrumental in holding the conference together in those turbulent days of 2012 and 13, a period which, thanks in large part to her efforts, now seems like a distant memory. Recently, she and her husband Steve donated $20 million to USF to fund an honors college. It's the largest donation ever made by a university president to our school. Vice Admiral Ted Carter will be leaving his post as superintendent of the United States Naval Academy later this month, his defined term having come to an end. He's made an enormous contribution to the conference and to the college community. He's represented the Patriot League, where Navy plays basketball and Olympic sports, on the NCAA Board of Directors. He's been an important voice on our conference executive committee. Navy athletics have prospered under his leadership. Far more important has been his extraordinary service to our country in combat and in peacetime. Among many other things, he holds a record for successful landings on 19 different aircraft carriers, more than anyone in the history of naval aviation. He was a Top Gun pilot. His command of an aircraft squadron, an oil replenishment ship, an aircraft carrier, and an aircraft carrier strike group. And despite this magnificent record, he remains as unpretentious an individual as you will ever meet. And we wish the Admiral and his lovely wife, Linda, all the best in their next chapter. And speaking of Navy, the Academy Sports Information Department and Scott Strasmeyer's here received the Super 11 Award, recognizing them for their outstanding work in servicing the media. Congratulations to both Scott and Stacy Machado on this terrific honor. Susan Herbst of UConn has served as our conference chair and as our representative on the NCAA Board of Directors and the NCAA Board of Governors. We appreciate her service and her many contributions to the conference, and we wish her and her husband Doug all the best in their next chapter as she prepares to move on from the presidency at UConn. I want to take a moment to thank and applaud Renu Couture, our prior conference chair from Houston, and David Rudd, our new chair from Memphis, for their outstanding contributions conference and to their universities. They provide unrelenting support for me. They were incredibly supportive during the lengthy TV media negotiations, and their leadership has this conference knocking on the P6 door. Renew was also, as Judy was, instrumental in holding the conference together back in 2012-13. As I mentioned, because it's a good time to reflect on our remarkable six-year history, I want to recognize others who've been vital to our success. Gerald Turner of SMU, who's had terms as our first conference board chair and is currently our CFP Management Committee representative, has meant a great deal to this conference. Without his guidance and support back in 12 and 13, I don't know where we would be. And I think the presidents who have retired or moved on have helped us reach these milestones. Some have passed away, the late Sted Upham of Tulsa, the late John Bardo of Wichita State, and then there is John Hitt, who's retired now from UCF, Steve Ballard of ECU, Scott Allen of Tulane, many of you remember Scott in his days in several conferences, Shirley Raines of Memphis, Cecil Staten of ECU, Dale Whitaker of UCF, and Neil Theobald of Temple, among many others. Also want to recognize our current athletic director, Chair Troy Dannen of Tulane, who does an outstanding job, provides me with valued guidance and support, as well as our vice chair, Pat Kraft of Temple, who does the same. And without them, we wouldn't have the conference we have. Kudos also to former AAC ADs such as Mark Harlan, who's now at Utah, he was at USF, Tom Bowen, formerly of Memphis, Mac Rose, formerly of Houston, Ward Manuel, who's formerly at UConn, and Todd Stansbury, once at UCF. They were instrumental in building this conference. Our group of presidents and athletic directors are outstanding, and their leadership has been the foundation of all we're doing. Without their commitment, nothing would be possible. We've got very, very high expectations for this conference, but to paraphrase former Georgia Tech head football coach Paul Johnson, who was also formerly a successful Navy coach, it's pointless to have expectations without commitment. It just won't work. We're all thinking of Mackenzie Milton as he continues on his road to a full recovery. We wish him well, and we hope to see him here in Newport next year. We welcome today several new coaches who will clearly strengthen our league. Dana Holgerson of Houston, Rod Carey of Temple, and Mike Houston of ECU. We're thrilled to have them, and they will absolutely be great additions to this conference. We also welcome ECU's new athletic director, John Gilbert, who's already had an impact on the athletic department's football program. And we welcome Memphis's interim athletic director, Allie Prescott, who's had a long and distinguished history with his alma mater as a student athlete and as an active alumnus. And as I do every year, I want to recognize friends of our conference. Jim Delaney is retiring later this year after 30 years as commissioner of the Big Ten. Jim's accomplishments, too numerous to list here, include the founding of the Big Ten Network and putting the Big Ten in the best position financially in college sports. I've known Jim and his family for 30 plus years. My wife Sharon and I are close friends, and I've been a colleague of Jim's for many years. I worked with him at ESPN and CBS, and for the past 7 years as ACC commissioner. He's occasionally had our battles, but he's always forthright and he has tremendous integrity. He occupies a unique place as one of the most intelligent and thoughtful leaders in college sports or in any profession. Supreme strategist, very analytical, decisive, and bold. No one made a greater contribution over the years to NCAA dialogue. The Big Ten was revolutionary, the Big Ten network was revolutionary, but it was a real struggle to obtain the necessary distribution. Jim had a vision, he saw it through. We all know how important vision is. More important, he's been a powerful advocate for student athletes, for their well-being, and he's kept winning and losing over the years in perspective. He's been complimentary, and this means a lot to us, of our league's progress. And he was instrumental in the Big Ten's designation of our conference teams as quality non-conference opponents, and that's helped us schedule many Big Ten teams over the next decade. We wish him and his lovely wife, Kitty, who's an accomplished professional in her own right, a wonderful next chapter. He'll continue to make contributions to college sports in various roles for years to come. I want to recognize Carl Benson, the longtime commissioner of the WAC and the Sun Belt. Carl's also a close friend. He's made a significant contribution to college sports over the years. He did a tremendous job with the Sun Belt. He left a stable and competitive league to his successor. We wish Carl and his lovely wife, Sarah, a well-deserved retirement. And I want to salute Steve Hatchell, president and CEO of the National Football Foundation and Hall of Fame, for his tireless efforts on behalf of college football. He's recognized the issues facing our game. He's mobilized the foundation's resources to address these. The award-winning Football Matters Initiative, which we and our fellow FBS conferences support, has had a real impact. The sport's safer than ever before, We will never stop striving to make it as safe as humanly possible. And I applaud Steve's effort, and I thank him for his annual support and presence at our media days. Bill Hancock is a worthy steward of the CFP, the College Football Playoff. He's overseen an event that instantly became one of the platinum events on the sports calendar. And we welcome Gina Leahy, the Senior Director of External Relations and Branding at the CFP. We always enjoy having her at our media days, and she does a terrific job. Because, as I said earlier, this is a good time to reflect on our success as a conference, I did want to recognize the efforts of Leslie Ann Wade, who is a friend and former colleague at CBS Sports. She ran communications there for 20 years. Her group designed our logo, and they weren't necessarily in that business per se, but I got a lot of logos at the time from more accomplished groups, and I didn't like any of them. And she came up with a logo that I think has worked for us. It's easy to forget our predicament at the time. After our settlement with the departing Catholic Seven basketball schools 7 years ago, we had no name, no logo, and no graphic identity under a quirk of an agreement. We had to ultimately surrender that name to the Big East. Now, you know, Shakespeare famously asked, what's in a name? And for our purposes, an awful lot. You know, finding a good name and gaining acceptance for it was critical. Leslie Ann also assisted us in that process, and her assistance was invaluable. The conference logo, as you all know, is equally important. That's what our student athletes wear. That's what they proudly wear. It's attached to everything we put out, and it's been well received, and it has stood the test of time. I'd be remiss in not thanking our outstanding staff, led by our COO, Donna DeMarco, Donna Ericciotti, our CFO, and Tom O'Jackson, our TV media expert. Many of you know Tom. Were part of my team during the ESPN negotiation, provided valuable counsel. Scott Draper and Ryan Kelly do a great job with our football. Bernie Caffarelli and Chuck Sullivan do a great job handling our communications and organizing our media days. And special kudos to Lisa Zanetti. You all know Lisa, for her always outstanding logistical work and hospitality for our guests. I want to thank and recognize our friends from ESPN, President Jimmy Pitaro and Executive Vice President Bert Magnus, along with Nick Dawson, Pete Gerzes, and Kurt Gargis. Without the confidence they showed in us, our new deal would not have been possible. Jimmy Pitaro's support was critical. His vision for ESPN and his executive skill are transforming that company, and it is one of my alma maters. I want to single out Bert Magnus, who spearheaded ESPN's side of this negotiation. He was responsible for a successful outcome. Bert's had a remarkable career. He's an old friend from my days at ESPN. He's an incredibly accomplished executive, and he believed in us, and that was critical. One last recognition. Joe Bellino, the great Navy running back and Heisman Trophy winner, passed away in March. I got to know Joe when I attended the Army-Navy game over the years. There's never been a finer gentleman, which is how everyone he ever met or dealt with would describe him. Humble and self-effacing, he was a great man and a great representative of the Naval Academy. I know he was also a close friend of Chet Gladchuk's. We're all going to miss him. He's left an enduring legacy. As you know, in the wake of recent events, there's been much speculation regarding our membership going forward. It's important for me at the outset, and for the sake of comedy in college athletics and among our friends in other conferences, to tamp down that speculation. At this point, we're comfortable with 12 teams, 11 in football and men's and women's basketball. We obviously, as you know, have Navy as a football-playing member and Wichita State as a basketball-only and Olympic sport-only member. We have no plans at this point to add a member to replace UConn. We're not targeting anyone. We're not sure at this point when UConn's exit will be, as negotiations are ongoing. They've been very amicable. Down the road, if there's someone interested in us who could enhance our strength and brand, we would consider it. But I would reiterate what I've said in numerous recent media interviews. We're a powerful conference in both major sports and Olympic sports. We're going to continue our Power Six campaign with renewed energy and determination. This is an historic year for college football, the 150th anniversary of the college game. From the first contest on November 6, 1869, between Princeton and Rutgers in New Brunswick, New Jersey, through the thousands of games that have been played since, college football has enriched the nation. It's touched the lives of those who play, those who coach, and those who watch, provided educational opportunities to thousands of young men over the years, many of them first-generation college students. Our conference will celebrate this milestone all season long, Our teams will wear the 150th anniversary logo. Our telecast will contain unique content about the anniversary and the sport's rich history. ESPN will play a central role in this celebration, and we applaud their efforts and their devotion to our great game. Today's devoted to college football, and in particular to the American Athletic Conference. And if you want to see what a Power Six football league looks like, I invite you to check out our first week of games in the upcoming season. UCLA at Cincinnati on Thursday, August 29th on ESPN. Wisconsin at USF on Friday, August 30th on ESPN. Ole Miss at Memphis on Saturday, August 31 on ABC. And Houston and Oklahoma on Sunday, September 1 in primetime on ABC. A coveted time slot, and arguably the premier window of the entire first weekend of college football. And this is not to slight in any way Tulsa at Michigan State on Saturday, August 31, Tulane at Auburn on September 7. Also, the first football game under our new ESPN TV deal will be Notre Dame Navy in Dublin, Ireland on August 24, 2020. The several weeks that follow in 2019 are also rich in marquee non-conference games against opponents such as Ohio State, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Oklahoma State, Pitt, TCU, Illinois, Maryland, Indiana, BYU, Air Force, and others. An article this spring talked about intriguing so-called P5 versus G5 matchups in the upcoming season. No fewer than 10 of the 15 games mentioned involved our teams. I challenge anyone to tell me this is not Power 6 scheduling or to tell me we won't be extremely competitive in these games. This packed slate leads into a tremendous conference schedule featuring multiple marquee games and, of course, our championship game, which again will be televised nationally on ABC. And that's been for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, and we're very proud of that. In addition, we've got a new upgraded bowl lineup that spans a 6-year cycle from 2020 to 25. I'm extremely pleased with it. Chuck Sullivan has released the specifics this morning, and you can all check that out, which bowl games are going to be in. Our teams are going to continue to have postseason opportunities against other Power Six opponents, including from the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12. That was a priority for us. Additionally, we're going to be playing bowl games in desirable destinations that are easily accessible to our fans, and that's really important. This lineup provides more revenue than the previous bowl cycle, and I'm proud to partner with bowls that are not only deeply rooted in their communities, but whose missions go beyond the game of football. I congratulate our schools for challenging themselves, and the next decade will see 150-plus games against so-called P5, we say other P6 opponents, including Florida, Alabama, Miami, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and Penn State, among many others. We're the only conference in the country, the only one, that is going to have Alabama, Florida, and Miami coming into our home stadium, as USF will host all three. That's outside the conference, outside obviously the SEC and the ACC. If you look around our league, you see upgraded recruiting, upgraded facilities, attendance increases, increased TV ratings, and a palpable excitement among our fans and the public. We still face some headwinds, mainly the result of that G5 label that we're currently saddled with. Mark my words, that will change. Non-Power 6 teams do not do landmark TV media deals, do not finish in or near the top 10 in football 4 out of 6 years, have multiple teams annually in the top 25. One year we had as many as 5 in the top 25 during the year. Play a New Year's Six bowl games 4 times in 6 years and win 3 of them against top 10 teams. Win national championships in football. UCF's in 17 was recognized by the NCAA, which recognizes the Coley Matrix, and also in men's and women's basketball, and also have Olympic sports success and individual NCAA champions. Change is a constant in life as well as in college athletics. We are an agent of change. This league reflects and embodies what contemporary college football is. It's a more egalitarian environment than it was. It affords greater opportunity to schools that haven't had past opportunities, but have worked and strived to be elite and have succeeded. ESPN exposure, social media, sophisticated recruiting, all these things contribute to an atmosphere replete with opportunity, which we have seized. We've become a power conference. As you know, we're called the American Athletic Conference. Our name suggests that to which I just alluded. We represent opportunity, upward mobility, success based on hard and intelligent work and grit. We're fearless in the face of challenges. We're what the country's all about, the American ethic. We're battle-hardened, we're resolute, we're confident. College football clearly has great tradition, and that tradition is one of its glories. No one's arguing it isn't. We all remember the many golden autos with their thrilling moments and great rivalries. But there's always room for new traditions, the emergence of new and different teams and new rivalries. College football is not feudalism. It's a meritocracy. Otherwise, why bother to play the games? We sometimes say that one of our mottos is forget tradition. Let's focus on some of the remarkable things that have happened in the past 5 years in college football, and many include our teams. College football has seen renewed excitement and competitiveness. We've led the way. We have upset victories over 6th-ranked Baylor in the 2014 Fiesta Bowl, 9th-ranked Florida State in the 2015 Peach Bowl, 7th-ranked Auburn in the 2017 Peach Bowl. We have UCF's 25 straight wins, Temple's win over Penn State, near upset of 9th-ranked Notre Dame in 2015, Memphis's impressive wins against Ole Miss in 15 and UCLA in 17 on brilliant sunny afternoons at the Liberty Bowl on ABC National TV, which helped put our league on the map. Houston's impressive wins against number 3-ranked Oklahoma and number 3-ranked Louisville in 2016. Houston was the team that beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl. And then, of course, there's the UCF-USF War on I-4 game in 2017, considered by many, and certainly by me, one of the best college football games ever played. We have 34 Power 6 victories since 2015, including wins over Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Penn State, Auburn, and Florida State. That UCF game against Baylor in 2014 in the Fiesta Bowl certainly also helped put us on the map, and obviously the big UCF win over Auburn in 17 was huge. Any naysayers remaining will be swamped by this continuing tidal wave. Our league has featured wonderfully talented players: Mackenzie Milton, Keenan Reynolds, Quentin Flowers, Marlon Mack, Ed Oliver, Shaquem Griffin, Zay Jones, Justin Hardy, Traquan Smith, Anthony Miller, Paxton Lynch, Greg Ward, Darrell Henderson, Tyler Matakavich, Blake Bortles, Storm Johnson, Rashad Perriman, Shane Carden, Matt Ioannidis, Hassan Reddick, Alandon Roberts, Dane Evans, William Jackson, Corlin Sutton, Tanzel Smart, Marquise Copeland, Jake Elliott, Byron Jones, Obi Melafonwu, among many, many more. It's quite a list, and I could go on all day with the great players who have been in this league. The Power 6 narrative emerged and coalesced around our quick success as the reinvented American Athletic Conference. It was conceived as a way to bring deserved attention to our league and position it for the next steps, which are to regain our status as a contract bowl conference, which the old Big East Football Conference, our predecessor, possessed as a BCS conference. And remember, we have seven, count them, seven schools that were once either in the old Big East, the old Southwest Conference, and even the SEC, which Tulane was a member of many years ago. Several of our other schools were on the cusp of that status. The foundation of our P6 push was in place, but all that would have been meaningless had not the performance of our schools matched my rhetoric. We now stand on the precipice of the next step, which I described: wide acceptance of the P6 conference and entry into the autonomous group of conferences. We're much more like them than we are different, and they know it. Moses did not send down a tablet with P5 written on it. We will navigate the shoals on our way to this destination, and when we arrive, we will have done it, as the late great John Houseman used to say in those old Merrill Lynch commercials, the old-fashioned way. We will have earned it. Although we have a landmark new TV media deal, this P6 designation is decidedly not just about money, it's about performance. We've shown in the regular season on New Year's Day that we belong. We're stronger top to bottom than we've ever been, the best players we've ever had, the best roster of head coaches we've ever had, and the best roster of assistant coaches that we've ever had. And speaking of our new television media deal, as I mentioned earlier, we're delighted to have renewed with ESPN. And although in the future we're going to receive even more exposure on ESPN's primary linear platforms, their cable networks and ABC, in football and men's and women's basketball than in our prior deal, We're also embracing ESPN Plus. That's ESPN's vision of the digital direct-to-consumer future. We're not fleeing from that. We're excited to be part of what President Jimmy Pitaro is doing with the company. We value our outstanding relationship with him and with Burt Magnus and his team. And we still have enormous upside. Just look at our TV ratings, and I want to send kudos to CBS Sports Network, which has had a sub-license with ESPN over the past 6 years and has televised our games and done a great job. Just look at our ratings. Over 60 ESPN ABC games with 2 million viewers over the past 6 years, and over 100 games with over 1 million viewers. These kinds of numbers, I might add, do not grow on trees. We're approaching 3 million alumni. We have 350,000 plus current students and significant fan engagement. We're a force on social media. Success breeds success. It instills confidence and optimism. We're now attracting more four-star student athletes with multiple P6 offers. We're attracting P6 transfers who are sought after and top coaches who recognize our quality. And again, we're going to have great TV exposure again this year with ESPN and CBS Sports Network, and I believe Dan Weinberg is here, and I, obviously Sean McManus, my old boss at CBS, has been supportive of us. ESPN does an absolutely spectacular job for us, and we're happy to have again them here today. Finally, in closing, in evaluating our league, I think of the famous statement by President Theodore Roosevelt when he extols the man in the arena, who strives valiantly, who knows great enthusiasm and great devotion, and who extends himself in a worthy cause. We may come up short from time to time. We're not going to win every non-conference game, but we will dare greatly, and more often than not, as he put it, know the triumph of high achievement. President Roosevelt talked about what he called the strenuous life, which is about striving, seeking to do things that are hard. Just as President Kennedy once said that we wanted to reach the moon not because it was easy, but because it was hard. And 50 years ago, we landed men on the moon, and today's the anniversary of the actual launch from that era. Our football teams and our other conference sport teams have not embraced low expectations. They haven't accepted only challenges they know they can meet. They've tested themselves on a regular basis, and all they've done is compete and win more than their share. Our aspirations are lofty, but they're eminently attainable. We can and should continue to aspire to NCAA autonomy status, to contract bowl status, and to widespread acceptance as a P6 conference. We will never stop fighting, and I'm confident that ultimately we'll achieve our goals. I want to thank everyone here, and please enjoy the rest of Media Day. Thank you.